Radhe Ravan Jahadiyam Jai Radha Madhava Kunjavi Hari Jai Radha Madhava Kunjavi Hari Jai Govindana Vallabha Giri Vardhani Jai Govindana Vallabha Giri Vardhani Yasodhanandana Vrajajana Hanjana Yasodhanandana Vrajajana Hanjana Jamuna Tiravan Jahariyamun Jamuna Tiravan Jai Radha Madhava Kunjavi Hari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Devo, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Nitai Gaur. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Nitai Gaur. Nitai Gaur Hari Bhav Hari Bhav Hari Bhav Hari Bhav. Nitai Gaur Hari Bhav Hari Bhav Hari Bhav Hari Bhav. Jaya Gauranitai 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 Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Gauranitai 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 Jaya Gauranitai. Nitai Gaur Hari Bhav Hari Bhav Hari Hari. Jai Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada. Jai Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada.
Professional. Srila Prabhupada King. Okay, so this is a verse that was chosen by Srila Prabhupada when he spoke on the occasion of Gaur Purnima 1974 in Mayapur. And this verse is by Prahlad Maharaj, coming from the 7th canto, chapter number 9. It's prayers by Prahlad Maharaj. Itam nityam rishadeva, itam nityam rishadeva janavatarayar. Itam nityam rishadeva janavatarayar. Lokam vibhava yasa hamsa jagat pratipan. Dharmam mahapurusha pasi yuga nivrittam. Chanakolo yara bhavayastri yoga tatsatvam. Itam nityam rishadeva jasavatarayam. Lokam vibhava yasi hamsa jagat pratipan. Dharmam mahapurusha pasi yuga navritam. Chanakalo yabhavas triyogo tasatam. Itam nityam rishadevam jasavatarayam. Lokam vibhava yasi hamsa jagat pratipan. Dharmam mahapurusha pasi yuga nuvritam. Chanankolo ya abhavas triyugota svatam. Itam, in this way, near, like a human being, such as Lord Krishna and Lord Ramachandra. Tiryak, like animals, such as the boar. Rishi, as the great saint Parasurama. Deva, as demigods. Jahas, as an aquatic, such as the fish and tortoise. Avatarayi, by such different incarnations. Lokan, all the different planetary systems. Vibhavayasi, you protect. Hamsi, you sometimes kill. Jagat Pratipan. Persons who have simply created trouble in this world. Dharmam. The principles of religion. Mahapurusha. O great personality. Pasi. You protect. Yuga Anu Ritam. According to different millenniums. Chana. Covered. Kalo. In the age of Kali. Yat. Since. Abhava. Have been. And will be in the future. Tri Yuga. Name Tri Yuga. Atta. Therefore. Sa. The same personality. Tvam. You. Translation purport, and by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In this way, my Lord, you appear in various incarnations as a human being, an animal, a great saint, a demigod, and a fish or a tortoise, thus maintaining entire creation in different planetary systems and killing the demonic principles. According to the age, O my Lord, you protect the principles of religion. In this age of Kali, however, you do not assert yourself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore you are known as Tri Yuga, or the Lord who appears in three yugas. Purport. As the Lord appeared just to maintain Lord Brahma from the attack of Madhu and Kaitava, he also appeared to protect the great devotee Prahlad Maharaj. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya appeared in order to protect the fallen souls of Kali Yuga. There are four yugas or millenniums, Satya, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali. In all the yugas but Kali Yuga, the Lord appears in various incarnations and asserts himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But although Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appears in Kali Yuga, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he never asserted himself as such. On the contrary, whenever Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was addressed as being as good as Krishna, he blocked his ears with his hands, denying his identity with Krishna because he was playing the part of a devotee. Lord Chaitanya knew that in Kali Yuga there would be many bogus incarnations pretending to be God, and therefore he avoided himself asserting himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, in many Vedic literatures, especially in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Varnam Tvasa Krishna Sangupanga Saparsadam Yagyai Sankirtana Praya Yajantihi Sumedha Saha. In Kali Yuga, intelligent men worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was always accompanied by associates such as Nityananda, Advaita Gadadhar, and Srivas. The entire Krishna conscious movement is based on the principles of the Sankirtan movement inaugurated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, one who tries to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the medium of the Sankirtan movement knows everything perfectly. He is Sumedhas, a person with substantial intelligence. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gina Jana Sakai Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Staptitam Yena Bhuta Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svampadantikam Ande Ham Shri Guru Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sakrichatam Sahaganat Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastai Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Vacharine Nirvisesa Sunyavari Pastyatya Desatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale
Srimati Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Iti Namine Sri Varshavanavi Devi Daite Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnanam Daine Prabhave Namaha Madur Ojwala Prema Dhyā Sri Rupa Nuga Bhaktida Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Psirmurtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virurapa Siddhanta Dvanta Thadine Namo Gaudakishoraya Saksad Vairagya Murtaye Vipalamba Asambode Padambodaya Te Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Satchirananda Namine Gaura Shakti Sarupaya Rupanuga Padaya Te Gaura Vibhava Bhumes Tvam Nirjasesha Sajanapriya Vaishnava Sarva Bhoma Sri Jagannathaya Te Namaha Vancha Kalpa Tarubhischa Kripa Sindhu Baeva Cha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Yo Namaha Namaha Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Padaya Te Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gaura Triste Namaha Sri Pancha Tattva Makam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam Bhakta Avatara Bhakta Kyam Mami Bhakta Shakti Kam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Jalakanta Namostate Jayatam Surato Pangor Mamabandho Matirgati Matsarvasya Padambojo Radham Madhava Mohana Divya Rindam Kalpa Drumatusa Pustali bi sevya manam smarami Srimad rasa rasaram bi vamsi vata tatastitahar Karsan venu tsurai gopi gopinatha te namaha Tapta kanchana gaurangi radhe brindavane suri Rikavanu suti devi pranamami hari priya Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Ram. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. So in this verse, which is very instructive, the Lord manifests Himself in different manifestations of Himself in different species of life. Actually, Srila Prabhupada in one lecture says that the Lord comes in all 8,400,000 species of life. What does that mean? That He appears in these different incarnations or manifestations of Himself. What is His purpose? To show compassion to the conditioned souls. There's no reason why the Lord has to come to this material world other than to show compassion to the living entities. And that for Him, that is important. Because the Lord, the living entities depend on His mercy. Otherwise, no one can get out of this entanglement of material existence. This material world is called Dukkhalayam Sasvatam. It destroys all the good qualities of the human being and relegates one to struggling so hard simply to maintain a body which cannot be maintained anyway. So the Lord, He's so kind that He comes. But because He likes to come in different ways to exhibit His different qualities and characteristics, He comes suitable according to the need of the time. So, in this particular incarnation, He is not known as the Lord, He's known as Channa. Channa means hidden or covered. Because in this age, as Prisila Prabhupada mentions, it's very fashionable that people practice spiritual life in order to attained the position of incarnation of God or God. There are many theories, or not theories, but created theories, that the living entity is God. And therefore, through the process of meditation, various types of austerities and penances, and study of various scriptures, one can raise themselves to their position of being the Supreme Lord. Not just the Lord, but the Supreme Lord. Of course, the living entity has the quality of the Lord. And then Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Saurukamanoi Sravanadi Siddhi Chitti Kodi Ayodai. In the hearts of all living entities, pure love for God is there. And that love is natural because we are of the same quality of God. That quality is the internal nature of both the Lord and the living entity. But the Lord is Vibhu, and He is great, we are Anu. We are small spirit, He is great spirit. Nityo, Nityanam, Chaitanas, Chaitananam, Eko Bahudam, Viradanti, Kaman. All the living entities are called Nityanam. That means we are many. But there is one Nityo who's maintaining all these living entities. And that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appears in different ways according to the need of the time. And what is His mission? To show compassion to the fallen conditioned souls. So in this age, this is a very difficult age for practicing spiritual life. Kali Yuga is considered to be the winter of all ages, as the most difficult season in the of the year, at least in Western countries, I know, is winter. And the winters are very severe, and people have to take much precautions just to somehow function on a day-to-day basis because of the environment. So this age of Kali is considered the winter, or the most difficult of all ages. Why? Because in this age, people are not inclined to spirituality. Manda sumanda mateo manda bhaga upadutaya prayeno apayesu sabda kalo yugin yugandus me mataha manda sumanda mateo manda bhaga upadutaya. Even if people are inclined to spiritual life, they always pick the wrong one. And so, this is the problem in this age. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya is, He's Maho Mahava Danaya Krishna Prema Padayate. He's the most manifested, merciful incarnation of the Lord, because He's giving something so easily for, He's giving something so high for something so easily. Simply chant the holy names of the Lord. Offer your food to the Lord in sacrifice, and engage in some practical activity to serve the Lord. Simply by doing these things, one can come to the highest stage of spiritual realization. But because He is hidden, people don't understand either Him as identity, or Him as His mission. Therefore, in order to keep intact the principle that there is only one God, He appears in this way. And although He is God, He never liked to be called God. Because in order to dissuade people from coming, or to destroy this misunderstanding that the living entity is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, we find people have a hard time with Lord Chaitanya. Because He appears to be ordinary in many ways. And He presents Himself as a devotee of the Lord and not as God. So therefore, only when Srila Prabhupada came did He actually reveal the real identity of Lord Chaitanya. And He also showed Lord Chaitanya's mission. What is Lord Chaitanya's mission? Is to make everybody Krishna consciousness through the process of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. A mercy manifestation. And Prabhupada did it in such a way as to show that even people who are coming from the most obscure backgrounds, who have no Sukriti, who have no samskaras, don't have any training in any spiritual, what we say, what's the word, spiritual spiritual practice or spiritual discipline, spiritual discipline, have giving up everything material and are actually devoting their life completely to the service of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. Because Lord Chaitanya's mission is to bring you to that. His mission is to help you understand the highest understanding of God consciousness, which is Radha and Krishna in Sri Vrindavan Dham. So this is Lord Chaitanya. But when he appears in this world, he appears for different reasons. Although his mission is compassion, still, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he doesn't do anything for one particular reason. He does things for many reasons. It says a great person knows how to accomplish many things by doing one thing. So this is the nature of the Lord. So when he appears, he accomplishes many things. And why does he appear? It's explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. There are 6 reasons why he appears in this world. And 3 of them are called the obvious external reasons, and 3 are called the internal covered reasons. The obvious reasons are is that yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhutanam adharmasya tadatmaham srijami aham pavitranayam sarunam vinasanaya chaduskritam dharma samstarpanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, whenever there's a rise of irreligion and an increase of irreligious persons, demons, he comes to reestablish the Dharma and to destroy irreligion and to remove these persons from the world. So he makes that statement very strongly. And it's one of the more prominent verses within the Gita, why the Lord comes. Here, for Lord Chaitanya, it says that one great devotee of the Lord, who was also an incarnation of the Lord, was Sri Advaita Acharya. Sri Advaita Acharya was senior to Lord Chaitanya. He was 52 years old when Lord Chaitanya appeared on this earth. Sri Advaita Acharya was a very recognized Brahmin, and he would hold many classes teaching Brahminical culture and Shastric evidence from different various scriptures. Advaita Acharya is a combination of Lord Shiva and Mahavishnu in one. He's not Lord Shiva only, he is Sadashiva, the original Shiva, the manifested Shiva who is the Shiva who has the planet in the spiritual world. Sadashiva, not just Shiva. And he has combined with Mahavishnu, who is the source of the creation, who manifests this external material energy and brings about the creation. So these two personalities have become one in Sri Advaita Acharya. So in the mood of Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva is very compassionate. He's praying, he's seeing what is the situation in the world today. When great souls see how the living entities in this material world are not inclined to spiritual life, but are so enthusiastic for material success and for material happiness, it breaks their heart. It makes them feel unhappy, and it also inspires them to want to do something to help people understand what is the real goal of life and how to become happy. So that was Sri Advaita Acharya. And so the situation before the appearance of Lord Chaitanya in the area of Navadvipa was quite, what we say, interesting. Navadvipa was the center of education for the entire world. It was such a bastion of education that some of the greatest scholars in the world would travel to Navadvipa just to increase their knowledge of scripture and their knowledge of various material subjects also. Navadvipa was so exalted that people were quite happy materially. There was a lot of material opulences. There was a lot of worship of demigods for material benefits. There was a lot of, what we say, activities centered around the best part of one's material existence. And so this was going on, but there was very few persons actually taking up and interested in real spiritual life. So Advaitacharya, along with Srila Haridas Thakur, who was also there at the time, and a few devotees such as Srivas Thakur Mukunda, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, and others, who were predecessors of Lord Chaitanya, were feeling very much discouraged because people were so engrossed in material happiness. Because sometimes when you see a person who is absorbed in material happiness and they seem to be going along nicely, getting everything they need in order to fulfill their material, they can't hear anything else. They become oblivious to any kinds of talk about spirituality. They think spirituality will just interfere with their material success, and it's just a waste of time. It's for people who can't become successful in material life. You hear that sometimes, right? Take up spiritual life because you're a material failure, right? Yeah, we hear that sometimes. If you can't do anything, you just might as well, you know, be a yogi. So the situation was like that. And there was a lot of worship of demigods, demigoddesses. Jai Sisi Radhavindavan Chandraki, Jai Sisi Gornitai Ki, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki, Jai. But when material life somehow or other proliferates itself and propagates itself, people get bored. So they were extending that material activities to some of the areas in the absurd. They were spending great amounts of fortune simply on marriages for their sons and daughters. But they weren't simply satisfied with that. They were also having marriages for cats and dogs. Yeah, mention. And for monkeys. And sometimes they would even stage play marriages with dolls and spend large money just to have a festival to get dolls married. This is mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavatam. They would make these deities of the demigods, worship the demigods, get the material benefits, and then throw the demigod deity into the Ganga like that. So this was being seen and in a very painful way by the devotees, especially Advaitacharya. So Advaitacharya, he's powerful. He's the Supreme Lord also. So he was thinking, I should just take out my chakra and finish them all off. This was his mood. You know, what's the use of their existence? They're simply, you know, just committing more and more sinful activities and neglecting the real goal of life. But then he thought, this is actually the mission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna himself. So with a heart full of compassion and a strong desire, he wanted to bring the Lord to the material world in order to rectify this situation. So he went down to the banks of the Ganga, and he established an altar there with shalagram on the altar. And with tulsi leaves, sandalwood paste, and offering Ganga water to shalagram, he chanted very loud prayers calling upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead to please descend in this world and save these fallen conditioned souls. So here we see the Shiva manifestation of Advaitacharya, because we know Shiva is very kind in many. He is Asutos, he's easily pleased and easily angered, But he's also known as the father of all living entities. She was very kind to the conditioned souls, and even for a little devotion he gives about, he'll give whatever people ask for. But in this case, he wanted to give them the best. So now he's calling to the Supreme Lord. During that time, there was two great personalities. One was a Brahmin named Jagannath Mishra. And his good wife, she was also born in Brahminical family, Sachimata. Both were qualified Brahmins, very pious, very saintly. Not very wealthy, but at least they had enough material opulence to maintain themselves nicely. Now they wanted to start a family. And so Sachimata becomes pregnant. Now Sachimata goes down to the banks of the Ganga. And while she's in her state of pregnancy, she's taking bath and offering prayers. Advaitacharya, he wants to bring the Supreme Personality of Godhead as fast as possible. So he's offering not only sandalwood paste, but he's offering beautiful flowers. And he's throwing the flowers into the Ganga. But it just so happens that these flowers were floating downstream and coming right where Sachimata was, in the bathing ghat that she was, which was connected to the Ganga. And these flowers were coming and hitting her in her womb, right where the pregnancy was. And so every time she would get hit with a flower, it would be a miscarriage. Haribo. And so this happened 8 times. She had 8 miscarriages. And so, of course, she couldn't understand why. She was trying to have children, and every time there was a child within the womb, somehow or other, it was not able to complete its development. So, but this was all due to Advaitacharya, Haribo. You know, sometimes we see Narada Muni, he wants to bring about the presence of the Supreme Lord, and so he encourages Kamsa to kill all the children faster. So that will accelerate the descent of the Lord. So sometimes in order to bring about auspicious in the most, what we say, speedy way, great souls act in a very strange way. But anyway, they're perfect in whatever they do. So after 8 miscarriages, finally the 9th pregnancy was a son. And that was born, his name was Vishwarup. Vishwarup was a manifestation of Sankarshan, and he was an energy of Ananta Shesh, and he appeared in the world. Very beautiful boy, being the energy of Lord Balaram. Balaram is known as being very, very beautiful. He was a very beautiful child. So the family was very happy. Now Advaitacharya is still praying and calling, and when he was calling, he was not just calling. He was calling so loudly. It was shaking the universe. He was calling out with great force and great desire for the Lord to come, offering prayers in the form of calling of the Lord. And so it mentions that this is the second reason why the Lord came. The Lord actually said, I was sleeping in Vaikuntha, but when I heard the prayers and calling of Advaitacharya, it woke me up. And so now, Nada, Lord Chaitanya used to call Advaitacharya Nada, N-A-D-A. Nada means one who is actually the Supreme Lord. So later on, during the pastimes of the Lord, Lord Chaitanya used to say, Nada, he was calling me, so I came. So this is the compassion of Advaitacharya. And the third reason why the Lord came is to propagate the Yuga Dharma. Krishna Varna, Tvasa Krishna, Sangapanga, Saparshadam, Yagnai, Sankirtana, Praya, Yajanti, Hi, Sumedha, Saha. And then this age, he has come to bring the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as the Yuga Dharma. But how often does Lord Chaitanya appear? Appears very, very seldom. It says that Krishna appears once in every 1,000 Yuga cycles. Krishna appears at the end of the Dwapara Yuga. And just he disappears, and when he disappears at the end of the Dwapara Yuga, that ushers in the next Kali Yuga. So Lord Krishna appears at that time. And right after the Kali Yuga begins, only about 5,000 years into the Kali Yuga, 5,500 years, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes. So he comes once in every 1,000 Kali Yugas, which is 4,320,000,000 years. So Lord Chaitanya doesn't come very often. And in the other Kali Yugas, there's not an incarnation of the Lord who brings one to perfection in the level of Vrindavan. In the other Kali Yugas, one can only attain to Vaikuntha. One cannot achieve Vrindavan. Vrindavan is closed. So, but in this Kali Yuga, therefore Kali Yuga is the best of all ages when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, because he brings the highest Vrindavan Dham. And I'll read something, which is the actual mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, based on one verse from the Chaitanya Manjushana, Manjushwala, Swali. What is the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya? Aradano Bhagavan Vrajesatanayasta Dharma Vrindavan Ramya Kaschit Upasanam Vrajavadu Varga Vira Kalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Alam Puranam Prema Pumartha Maham Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Mataridam Tata Dara Naparadram. The philosophy of Lord Chaitanya is that Krishna is the only object of worship. And as Krishna is the object of worship, similarly, his place, Vrindavan, Vrindavan Dham, those who have visited India, Vrindavan Dham, still you can go to Vrindavan without knowing about Krishna. And you will once feel Krishna consciousness. This is Prabhupada's writing. It's such a nice place. So that Vrindavan Dham is also worshipful. And Ramya Kaschya Upasanam Vrajavadu Varga Vivra Kalpita. Now Krishna has worship by the damsels of Vrajadham. Lord Chaitanya recommends this is the highest, topmost grade of worship, because that was pure love. The damsels of Vraj love Krishna so much without any return. That is the sublime thing. So he recommended that is the highest form of worship. Ramya kaschit upasanam brajavadu varga vira kalpita Srimad Bhagavatam amalam puranam. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Vedic literature. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is full of Krishna consciousness only, just like Bhagavad Gita is full of Krishna consciousness, it is the preliminary study of Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada goes on to say that this is the highest form of teaching. And so this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, to teach Vrindavan Dham based on the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. And of course, preliminary study of Bhagavatam is the knowledge given by Krishna directly in Srimad Bhagavad Gita. So this is the educational point, or the knowledge point, that Lord Chaitanya has come to teach them. Because who is he? Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nohi Anya. He is Radha and Krishna in one manifestation, who has combined into one person known as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is Krishna. He's not Radharani. Some people think because he has the bhav of Radharani, he's Radharani. He's not Radharani. He is Krishna with her emotional expressions. And what is that emotional expression? Pure love for Krishna on the highest level of bhakti. So that is his internal mood. And he exhibits that in the form of a devotee to teach the highest to the conditioned souls in the form of worship by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So that chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the complete mantra, in the sense that you won't find any other mantra anywhere in the scriptures that is a pure mantra. Many mantras have words that lead into the pure sounds within the mantra, but in the Hare Krishna mantra, there are only the names of the Absolute Truth. Hare, Krishna, and Rama. And Hare is Srimati Radharani. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rama is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there's no, that's why it's called Maha Mantra. Not just mantra, a Maha Mantra. And so in his mood of Radharani's love for himself as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also descends in this world to fulfill his own desires to experience. There's a beautiful narration in the Chaitanya Mangala where Lochan Das Thakur narrates this particular pastime where Krishna, he's traveling. No, Narada Muni is traveling, but Krishna's in Dwarka. And Krishna's in Dwarka, Narada Muni arrives there. Now, Krishna, his feet are being massaged by Rukmini. Rukmini is the principal queen of Krishna. Out of all the queens, the 16,100 queens, she is considered to be the supreme goddess of fortune. So she's massaging the Lord's feet, Dwarkadish. He's Krishna in his mood of Dwarkadish. And now she can't withhold her emotional feelings. She's crying profusely. And while she's crying, she's also speaking. What is she saying? My dear Lord, your lotus feet are so wonderful, so wonderful, so wonderful. In fact, your lotus feet are so wonderful, you don't even know how wonderful your lotus feet are. In fact, nobody knows how wonderful your lotus feet are. But then she stops and then she says, yes, there is only one person in the entire existence of all who knows how wonderful your lotus feet are, and that is Srimati Radharani. Now Krishna's hearing that and he gets curious. I don't know how wonderful I am. I want to find out. There's a story where Krishna was walking. This was in Dwarka also, and he passed a pillar, a big pillar, and the pillar had a reflecting nature of it. So when he passed the pillar, he walked back and said, wow, who's that? That's me. Oh. he got an experience of how wonderful he is. Just by... Now this is Krishna. He's not proud though. So he's experiencing this bewilderment. So the other reasons why the Lord appears, and he appears for three internal reasons, and that is, let me see, I have them, to get them exactly right. It's to relish the position of Srimati Radharani, her love for him. What is the nature of her love for him? What is the happiness that she experiences in that loving relationship? And what is the qualities about him that attracts Radharani to him? So these are the three internal reasons. And the Acharyas explain that this was the time for the Lord to descend to experience this mood of his own love for himself in the mood of the best devotee, Srimati Radharani. And so in this mood, he exhibited his pastimes. But these pastimes didn't really manifest until the later form. Now, the Dvaitacharya, he's calling, and he's calling. Finally, after some time, the Lord decides to come. The year is 1486 in the Christian era, and 1407 in the Sakabda area. And in the month of Falgun, which Prabhupada senses the month of February and March, the very end of February, the very beginning of March, on the full moon day within that month, the Lord appeared. But he appeared in a very interesting way. He created a situation where there was a lunar eclipse. Now we know from Shastra that eclipses are considered to be inauspicious. Why did he create an inauspicious environment to descend? Because in Navadvip, people, although they were inclined to materialism, when something inauspicious happened, they chanted Hare Krishna. And so he creates this lunar eclipse where Rahu, he comes in front of the moon and blocks the moon. And it says that during that time, no one should be outside, no one should take prasadam, no one should be cooking. Only one should be offering prayers to their deities or bathing in the holy rivers. So practically the entire, what we say, town of Navadvip went to the river and started chanting Hare Krishna. Even the Islamic persons there, the Muslims, they also came and they were making fun of the Hindus chanting Hare Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna. So whether you make fun of it or you do it in the right way, you get some benefit. It's called halana. Halana means to do it in an indirect way, in a deriding way, in a way that is making fun. But still, sometimes people say, ah, ha, ha, you Hare Krishnas, ha, ha, ha. What did you say? Oh, you Hare, yes, say it again. Yeah, so Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Prabhupada describes that when he would get a newspaper article, and sometimes the article would be very much against the Hare Krishnas, he would count how many times they said Hare Krishna in the article. And he would say, just see, they said it 5 times, it's good. They're making advancement. He didn't care whether it was favorable or unfavorable, how many times they said Hare Krishna. Because even if you say Hare Krishna once in your life, you're guaranteed a human birth. Even if you're the most sinful person. And if you practice the process of chanting Hare Krishna, you'll elevate it to the spiritual world. So chanting the holy names is so spiritually powerful that even those who do it, what we say, making fun indirectly or in a difficult situation, they get the mercy of the name to some degree. That is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And so, now everyone is chanting Hare Krishna, a lunar eclipse, and then on the full moon night, Lord Chaitanya appears. And in the womb, of course, before the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, I'll go back a little bit, when Sachimata was pregnant with Lord Chaitanya, actually he stayed in the womb a little longer than most children. He was in the womb for 13 months. For 13 months, because he wanted to come out right at the right time. So he was calculating. Now, her pregnancy wasn't, as Prabhupada mentions, in a purport, and it's also indicated in the verse, it wasn't a normal pregnancy, it was a divine pregnancy. How was that divine? Jagannath Mishra, at one time, felt this spiritual energy, very powerful, entering into his whole being and taking over his own mind. And that same spiritual energy were transferred to the mind of his wife and then ultimately to the womb of his wife. And that was the pregnancy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now the child's there for 13 months, and Sachimanda, she's seeing all these beings coming from different realms. She said, I'm seeing all these beings, they're coming to our home, and they're very beautiful. And Jagannath Mishra is wondering, he was thinking, obviously this child that is about to be born is a very special personality. So there were so much auspicious signs within the environment, many great personalities were coming to worship Mother Sachi. So this was all beginning of the Lord Chaitanya's descent. Finally, when he appeared, he was so beautiful. Just a little baby, and he was golden in color. Mm-hmm. He was golden in color. And when everyone saw him, Advaitacharya's wife, and Sita Thakurani, she came all the way from Shantipur to see the child, bringing many gifts. So many of the ladies in the village and others came to bring gifts. And now he's a little baby. But he would cry. And he would cry all the time. It could be a little disconcerting. But no one could figure out how to stop him from crying. But then, as soon as someone chanted Hare Krishna, he'd stop. And then everyone understood, oh, here's the way to make him stop. So when they would stop chanting, he would start crying. And when they would start chanting, he would stop crying. And sometimes they would sing, and he'd get up when he would be really just a little baby, hardly able to walk. He would hold on to the little cradle he was in, and he would dance for them like that. So he was dancing before he was even walking. So this was Mahaprabhu. He charmed the hearts of everyone with his beautiful, beautiful appearance. And so many persons were coming to offer him so many gifts. And Sachi Mata was becoming so... And people were offering... They had heard. Some of them didn't even see the child. They had heard there was such a divine birth in the house of Jagannath Mishra that every time they would see Jagannath Mishra walking on the streets, they would give him a gift. They would give him some money, some wealth. They'd give him some grains. They would give him some milk products, some gift, cloth. In this way, they were receiving so many gifts just because of the birth of the beautiful child. And when Lord Chaitanya was just a tiny little baby, he would be charming the hearts of everyone. But as he was growing up, sometimes Sachi Mata would look and see on the floor of their house, the floor was made of dirt, and so she would see all these kind of footprints, and in the footprints there would be auspicious markings. She was thinking, who's coming here? These are very auspicious footprints. But then one day, little Nimai, because he was born underneath a neem tree, so he was given many names. He was given the name Nimai, because he was born under the neem tree, and he was also given the name Vishwambar. So one day he held his feet upwardly, and his mother saw his feet, and she looked at it and said, whoa, they're his footprints. And then she was thinking, and she told her husband. His husband said, yes, I have understood. He's a divine child. He may be, you know, a great demigod, or maybe even Narayan himself. And so they took very good care of the child. But Krishna, when Krishna was young, he was very naughty. But Lord Chaitanya made Krishna look like a good boy compared to not. He was really naughty. You know, he would do all kinds of things. He would say, one time he would say, he'd say to his mother, when he was just a little baby, he would say, "Give me some sweetmeats." And his mother would say, "Oh, I have to go get some." He'd say, "I want it now." She said, "I'll be right back." "No, I want it now." And then when she wouldn't give it, he'd break everything in the house. One time, he asked for some sweetmeats, and she didn't give it to him right away. So he went into the house, and this was, you know, now he's a little boy, about 2 or 3 years old. He took a stick and he just broke everything. Smashed the windows, he broke the butter pot, and he threw all of the grains and the milk products all over the floor. He just destroyed everything, and then he went to sleep. And then he woke up and he said, "Mother, I'm hungry." His mother said, "There's nothing. You destroyed everything." He said, "Oh, okay, I'll be right back." So after some time he returned and he had 2 tolas of gold. And he said, "Here, you can buy something." And then she's thinking, "Where is he getting this gold from?" So he would do that. He would sometimes destroy everything and then give his mother gold so she could get more things. When he was a little younger, he would like to go to school. And he loved school. And but then his mother and father were thinking, you know, our older son, Vishwaroop, we sent him to school. He became educated. And because he became educated, he left us, and now he's gone. He went to take sannyas. So this is not good. We should keep Nimai home, because if he gets too educated, he might leave us. So they took him out of school. Now, he didn't like that, so he decided to get together with his friends and just cause mischief. So they would go and cause all kinds of mischief. They would do all kinds of naughty things and just... And the other ladies in the other houses, they would say, "Our children don't want to go to school. And we have to force them to go to school. But your son, he wants to go to school and you won't let him go to school." So they were afraid that he was going to leave them. Because Sachimata, she was really brokenhearted when her older son Vishwaroop left. She had plans for him to have a nice wife and get married. But he simply rejected that because he was associating with Advaitacharya and studying scripture from Advaitacharya and becoming very, very detached from everything material. And at one point he just left and never returned, never gave any other form of communication after he left. No one ever saw him again. It says that he went to Pandharpur and actually took sannyas from Lakshmipati Tirtha. And then after that, no one saw him. So Lord Chaitanya, he was not in school, so he had so many things to do. So he used to do all kinds of mischief. So sometimes, you know, in India, they have these places, the outhouses, where you go inside and you take care of business. So there's a lock on the inside, but there would be a lock on the outside too. So when persons go in, he'd lock the door on the outside so they couldn't get out. And sometimes what he would do is that they would go into people's gardens and knock down all their trees. Him and his friends would cover themselves over with a blanket and act like a bull and just knock down everybody's banana trees. And then when he got a little older, he would go down to the Ghats. This was when he was going to school. After some time, they put him back in school. They figured he's just too naughty, but better put him back in school again, because he really wanted to go to school. So they put him back in school, and now... When he would leave school early and go down to the Ghats where the Brahmins would be bathing. And they would be bathing, they would be standing in the water, and they would be chanting their Gayatri, standing waist deep in the water, chanting Gayatri. And sometimes he would float underwater and come up and spit water in their face. And then they would get angry, and then they go back to chanting Gayatri. So he would swim underneath and sometimes pull their legs out, and they would fall in the water. This is God. He was very mischievous. Put it closer. Hare Krishna. And sometimes what he would do is that the men would be bathing on one side and the women on the other side, so he would switch the clothes. So when the men would come out, they would see all kinds of cholis and saris and all kinds of other things. And the women would think, these are dhotis. So in that way he would do all kinds of mischief. Then he would go to the girls' side sometimes and says, the girls, the young girls, the little girls, sometimes between 7 and 10 years old, maybe a little older, they would make a little deity of Lord Shiva Linga, and they would put a Shiva Linga. They'd chant prayers to Lord Shiva, praying for Lord Shiva to give them a nice husband. Because Lord Shiva's, he's prayed to in the Shastras by women to get a good husband. It says that in the Bhagavatam, if you want a nice husband, you can check in with Lord Shiva and see what he gives you. If you didn't get a good husband, then you're going to understand you missed Lord Shiva. So, of course, good husbands are rare nowadays anyway. There's still good wives, but good husbands are too busy making money, right? So, anyway, that's another class. So he would come to the girl's side, and he would take, he would sit on the little thing of they made for Lord Shiva, and said, I am the source of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is my devotee. You should worship me. And they would get mad. Nimai, what are you doing? You're offending Lord Shiva. You're going to get a bad reaction. No, Lord Shiva, he's my devotee. And if you worship me, I promise you, you'll get a very qualified husband, and you'll have so many nice sons who will all be very educated and very qualified. And then sometimes the girls would run away. And then he would say, oh, but if you don't worship me, then I'll make sure you get an old husband who can't walk. And you'll be one of 4 co-wives. So sometimes the ladies would get a little concerned. Well, man, he's got some power, obviously. So they would come back and worship like that. And sometimes he would do mischief to the girls. He'd take these okada seeds, which are real sticky seeds, and he would put them in the hair of the girls. So their hair would become full of sticky seeds, and they would just have to, and they would get angry at him. So he just did all kinds of mischief. So sometimes the Brahmins would get really upset and go to Jagannath Mishra and complain that he's doing all these nonsense things. He's ruining our Gayatri. He's just causing problems with everyone. So Jagannath Mishra would get very angry. He'd take a stick and he would wait for Nimai to come home. But Nimai's friends, they would tell him, your father is ready with a stick, so don't go home. So what he would do is he would put on dry clothes and he'd smear ink all over his body. And he'd come home, and then when he'd come, his father would start to say, he said, Father, I'm just coming from school now. And then he said, I'm hearing all these complaints about you. No, they're making up lies. They just want me to get in trouble. And then he couldn't figure out what to do because, he's got ink all over his body, his clothes are completely dry, and he's got dust on the clothes. So he couldn't tell. And so Nimai would get away from getting punished. One time, his father chastised him, and then his father went to sleep. And in the sleep, a very effulgent Brahmin appeared to Jagannath Mishra and said, "You know, you shouldn't chastise him. He's a great personality. Actually, he's the Supreme Lord himself. Therefore, you shouldn't chastise him." But in the dream, there's a dialogue between this personality who appeared and Jagannath Mishra. He says, "Yes, I don't know, he may be whoever he is, but still I'm his father. And it's my duty to make sure he does the right things." So, in this way, he defeated the personality, and the personality was very pleased. And then the dream ended. And when he woke up, he told the dream to his wife. He was feeling ecstatic when he woke up. And he said, "Our son, he's very special. He's very special. So we should take very good care of him," like that. So there was many, many stories of Lord Chaitanya. Sometimes he would play outside. One time when he was playing outside, when he was a young boy, a huge snake crawled into the yard, and it coiled up. And little Nimai, he just went over and sat on the snake. And when the people of the household came out, they started chanting, "Garuda, Garuda, Garuda. There's a snake, snake, snake." And they were starting, to get really, and they didn't know what to do because they didn't want to, do anything to the snake because they were afraid the snake was going to harm little Nimai. But Nimai was just relaxing on the snake. He was just exhibiting his pastimes in the spiritual world where he sits on Anantashesh. And he was just enjoying that. And finally, the snake just went away, and then the people in the house, they picked him up and started chanting mantras to relieve them of the influence of snakes. Another time, two men, they saw him playing in the yard, and he would be sometimes dressed with so much nice jewelry on. So they thought, "Oh, this child is very wealthy. He's got so much jewelry. So we're going to capture him and take all his jewelry." So they picked up little Nimai, and Nimai was thinking, "Oh, I'm going for a ride." So they would, and they had some sweetmeats, and they were giving him and said, "Oh, child, here's some nice sweetmeats. You can come, and we'll give you more at our house, so just come with us." So he was enjoying the ride. But what happened was he used his mystic power, and he bewildered the thieves, and they wound up back at the same place that they started with, back at the house of Sachimata. So they didn't go to it, and then when Sachimata and all the house family came out, the thieves, they just started to run away. And then the house people, they couldn't understand what happened. Little Nimai said, "Oh, I was lost, and these two nice men, they found me and brought me home." And then they went looking for them to give them some reward, but they had already gone. So he used that to get a nice ride. Now, these are some of the pastimes. One time he told his mother, it's because it says in the Vedic culture that a woman who is pregnant should follow the Ekadasi, but a woman who is married should not follow the Ekadasi. But then little Nimai actually instructed his mother. He said, no, we should all follow Ekadasi because Ekadasi is the mother of devotion. And today we will fast, but there is two personalities called Jagadish and Haranya, Govardhan, and today they have cooked a huge feast for their deity. They have a Vishnu deity. And please give me the remnants. So his father knew he was concerned, so he went and found, and they were saying, "How did he know? How did he know we cooked a feast for our deity on this Ekadasi?" And so they gave the remnants like that. So, but then he established that one should, no matter what we say, quality of life one is in, whoever you are, one must follow the Ekadasi day. Ekadasi is very auspicious. It comes twice a month, once on the dark moon side, once on the full, on the light moon side. And by following the Ekadasi, which is chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, fasting. Real Ekadasi means to fast completely 24 hours and chant the whole day. That is Ekadasi. Nirjal is Ekadasi, actually. But Srila Prabhupada, in establishing Ekadasi in our ISKCON society, knew he couldn't establish the principle of Ekadasi as taught in the scriptures. So he did it a little compromise. No grains, no beans like that. Little vegetables, some milk. But the day is meant for hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Ekadasi is very, very auspicious. Sometimes people fear the approach of Ekadasi. Oh no, Ekadasi. Especially in South India and in Bengal. No rice. Oh. No rice, that's not nice. I have to think twice. And I have to pay the price of having no rice. Boy, this is worse than having a home full of mice. Well, that's just a little extra. So anyway, so certain places in people, you know, Ekadasi. But Ekadasi is wonderful. It's so nice. Because Ekadasi gives you a chance to make great spiritual advancement. You can make tangible progress on the Ekadasi day by increasing your hearing and chanting and reducing the process of eating and sleeping on that day. Like that. And, of course, worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And many other pastimes with Lord Chaitanya as a young boy. Gradually, he started to go to school and became educated and actually developed some of the best marks in school. Later on, he actually studied the scriptures and became more and more profuse in scriptural knowledge. As a young boy, he became a teacher of grammar and Nayak, and he took up the profession of teaching himself. And he would teach. And he was considered to be the most learned and best teacher in the entire town of Navadvip. One time, one great, great, great pundit, Digvijay Pandit, Keshava Kashmiri, was an amazing personality. He would travel all over to India and he would challenge some of the best philosophers to the debate. In India, in those times, in Vedic culture, a person was great by how much they knew scholastic knowledge or spiritual knowledge. Nowadays, that's lost. What is greatness? If you can somehow or other win the cricket game, right? Sometimes we say the religion of India is cricket. Or if you're a great cricket star, or you're a great Bollywood star, then you're considered to be somewhat glorifiable. But this is all the influence of the Western, what we say, materialistic society. Greatness during the Vedic culture was how much you knew Shastra and how much you could present Shastra to others in defiance of whatever knowledge they had. So people would debate, and there would be lots of debates. That was the sport, listening to people debate different philosophical teachings based on Shastra. And so there were many great personalities who took up that mantle to further their, what we say, education and to also develop fame. So Keshava Kashmiri, he was famous all over because wherever he went, He would defeat whoever accepted his challenge, and many times people wouldn't even accept his challenge because they knew they couldn't defeat him. So when he came into Navadvipa, nobody wanted to debate him. So little Nimai was there. He's a young boy now, and he has all his students who are students of grammar. And this great, you know, pundit comes. And then Nimai welcomes him and says, "Oh, you are the great Keshava Kasbiri. I heard you know so much. Actually, I want to hear some knowledge from you." And he said, "Well, what can you understand? You only teach grammar and logic. You'll never understand what I teach." He said, "Anyway, let me hear something, just to hear something, because I know how learned you are. What would you like to hear? Well, can you compose some glorification of Mother Ganga?" "Of course." So the students are listening, and everyone's listening, and it's explained that with the speed of the wind, he composed 100 verses glorifying Mother Ganga. 100 verses. Amazing. Lord Chaitanya, who was Nimai Pandit that this said, "That is very good, that is very good. But there is some good points and there are some faults. There's no faults. In my poetry, everything is perfect. No, actually, verse number 63, there are actually 5 good points and there are 5 faults." And you're saying Bartubhava? Who? Bartubhavani? Bhavani Bartu, excuse me. Bhavani Bartu. You're saying that Lord Shiva's wife has a husband. You're using the fault of redundancy. And therefore, this is an actual fault. And then he pointed out 4 other faults. And while he's pointing out all these faults, the students are laughing at Keshava Kasbiri. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Don't laugh at him." Because, you know, his ego was so strong that if he would have laughed too much, he would have died on the spot. It would have been easier to kill him simply by making fun of him than to try to do it in another way. But Lord Chaitanya was, Nimai Pandit, he was really gentle. And he said, "You know, actually, you know, you go home and you study your books." And he was mortified. He was stunned into silence. He couldn't say anything. He understood. He was defeated. So he went home that night and he was distressed. His mind was so disturbed. He couldn't even sleep. And then he was praying to Goddess Saraswati. And finally he fell asleep. And in the dream she appeared to him and said, "That person who you think is just a young boy, he's actually my master. He's the Supreme Lord himself. So you should actually go to him, fall at his feet, become his devotee and surrender your life to him." And so he was enlightened by his own goddess, Saraswati, who he used to worship. She would give him all the knowledge that he needed. But now she's revealing that she is simply a maidservant of the person who just defeated him. And so then he came and fell at the feet and Lord Chaitanya blessed him. And he actually became a devotee. He's an incarnation of Nimbarka. Nimbarka, who started the Nimbarka Sampradaya, which is very prominent in the air of Vrindavan Dham. Sometimes the devotees would see Nimai. When he was still a scholar, he was very arrogant. Sometimes he would go up to Mukunda. He would say, "Hey, Mukunda, you know, tell me what liberation is." And Mukunda would say, "Liberation means one becomes free from all material activities and attains moksha." And then Nimai would say, no, go home and study your books and come back and I'll ask you tomorrow again. And sometimes the devotees would say, would establish an argument, and then he would defeat that argument, and then he would say, all right, now I've defeated your argument, you defeat my argument. And they couldn't defeat his argument, so he would defeat his own argument and establish the first argument that he defeated in the first time. And then he'd say, defeat that. And they couldn't defeat that, and then he would defeat that and establish the original argument again. So in this way, he was always defeating everybody, especially the devotees. And sometimes they would say, Nimai, you know, you're so arrogant. You should become a devotee of Krishna. He would say, someday I'll become not only a devotee of Krishna, I'll be the best devotee of Krishna someday. And then he would walk away. So after some time, a great personality came to Navadvipa, and that was Ishwara Puri, who was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, the great Madhavendra Puri. And then Nimai met Ishwara Puri and actually became attracted to him and took shelter of him. And then later on, when Ishwara Puri returned to Gaya, and Lord Chaitanya, Nimai Pandit went and took shelter of Ishwara Puri and became initiated. When he came back, he was a different person. He still had his teaching profession, but now everything he taught, he would teach on the basis of Krishna. Every meaning, every word, every verse, every line, every sentence, he would conclude, this means Krishna. What was he actually saying? He was saying Krishna is everything. Because we understand from Shastra that the whole existence, both material and spiritual, is actually Krishna's energy. So from the absolute point of view, there's nothing but Krishna. Sometimes Prabhupada would say, you're Krishna, I'm Krishna, we're all Krishna. But we're not Krishna, but we're Krishna's parts and parcel. Therefore, when we come from Krishna, we are also Krishna. Everything's Krishna. But for worship, we worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but we honor everything as His energy, because the energy and the energetic is both different and non-different. That is the philosophy of Chintya Veda Veda Tattva, whereas something is both the same and different simultaneously. So this material world is actually both spiritual and material simultaneously, because it's spiritual because it comes from Krishna, and it's material because it's cut off from Him, because it's being used by the conditioned souls to enjoy separately from the Lord. So everything ultimately is Krishna. So when Lord Chaitanya was teaching his students, he was concluding everything is Krishna. So much so that he couldn't even teach properly, because every time he would think of Krishna, he would get upset, he would get emotion, and he couldn't do anything. Sometimes he would cry, and his students would also cry, just by remembering Krishna. His mother was worried about him, and he would go into ecstasy, and she couldn't understand what it was. So she was thinking, it looks like he has some disease, because his body would go into all kinds of ecstasies, and he would roll on the ground, and he would exhibit many of the physical symptoms of ecstasy, shivering like that. So his mother was thinking, maybe he has some kind of disease. So she took him to one Kaviraj. Kaviraj says, yes, his airs are out of line. He has the wind disease. So we should bathe him in nishinga oil? Yeah, nishinga oil. So they did that and it didn't work. He still had, he had more ecstasy actually. So then she went to another Kaviraj and said that you should give him Shiva ghee and rub it on his head. So she tried everything. And she tried, but So finally, she couldn't figure out what was on. But then Gadadhar Pandit was there. Gadadhar Pandit was very close to Lord Chaitanya. So she said to Gadadhar Pandit, "Gadadhar Pandit, see if you could help my Nimai." So as soon as he would see Gadadhar Pandit, he would become peaceful. And then when Saji Mata would see that, she said, "Oh, Gadadhar Pandit, you should never leave my son, because only you can make him peaceful. Only you can cure his diseases." And then Gadadhar Pandit said, "Actually, Mata, he's got a very interesting disease. We all want that same disease." It's the disease of love for Krishna. So in this way, Gadadhar Pandit was very close to Lord Chaitanya. In fact, they practically lived their whole life together. And when Lord Chaitanya eventually took sannyas and went to Jagannath Puri, Gadadhar Pandit also left Navadvip and came to Jagannath Puri just to be with Lord Chaitanya. So it's coming up to about 10 o'clock, and so we can take maybe a 5-10 minute break. Is that okay? Or should we continue and take a break later? Because I was told we get 5 minute break somewhere so we can breathe and then come back, and I can breathe. So should we take a break now, or should we continue now and take a break later? Everybody, don't everybody answer at once. Any comments? Now or later? Brahmacharis? Okay, we'll take a break now. So it's about 5 to 10, so we'll come back at 5 after 10. So 10 minute break. You can stretch, you can do some yoga. We recommend not hatha yoga, but japa yoga. So you can do also, in other words, loosen up a little bit and come back, and we'll continue in about 10 minutes. Hare Krishna.
हरे कृष्णा। सो आज गौर पूर्णिमा का अवसर पर सभी भक्तों के लिए विशेष सूचना है। तो आज का दिन श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत सभी भाषा में 50% डिस्काउंट अवेलेबल है। ऑनलाइन इंटरनेट में भी बुकिंग कर सकते हैं, और जो जिनको जुदया से कलेक्ट करने वहाँ सभी कलेक्ट कर सकते हैं। तो हर एक चैतन्य चरितामृत में 50% डिस्काउंट है। जिन लोगों ने ऑनलाइन में बुकिंग किया है तो 50% लक्ष्मी देके जुदाय से कलेक्ट कर सकते हैं। हरे कृष्णा। और हरे कृष्णा, तो आज का जो ये चैतन्य चरितामृत का ये डिस्काउंट है, विभव कृष्ण प्रभु के पिताजी पंडित प्रभु जो जुदाय में सेवा कर रहे थे, उनके नाम में उनके बेटा विभव कृष्ण प्रभु ने स्पॉन्सर किया है। तो हम सभी भक्तों से विनती करते हैं कि उनके पिताजी के एयर डेस्टिनेशन के लिए उन्होंने ये किया है, तो सभी भक्तों लोग उनके लिए प्रार्थना कर सकते हैं। एक बार हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र बोल के उनको धन्यवाद करते हैं। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण।